Hello and welcome to the Songs or Spells podcast. I am your host, Carolyn King. In the crazy world that we live in, music offers a kind of self-empowerment, especially through social media, and people are connecting in with the comfort, confidence, and power that this stands for. In this way, songs really are spells. Each week, I discuss what music and magic means to music industry guests. How has it helped them to navigate a tough industry and life in general? This week, I am joined by a living legend, Speech from Arrested Development. So Arrested Development have shaped the culture of hip-hop for the past 30 years, and they were the first ever hip-hop group to win a Grammy for Best New Artist, whilst also receiving one for Best Rap Single, the amazing track Tennessee, which deals with Speech's grief at a young age and how he tried to move forward. Arrested Development have always offered an alternative to the quite misogynistic gangster rap that has become so prominent. And I really learned so much from this chat with him. He's got so much to teach the world. We discussed everything from racism, toxic masculinity, to where hip hop is going to go next. I can't wait for you to hear this chat. Enjoy. I understand that you do have quite a lot of faith. Did you want to talk about that or?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been like aware of God, like since I was a young kid. You know, I used to walk home from school about a mile from school and to school when I was young, and being really, you know, a little kid and walking these neighborhoods, I used to pray a lot, you know, because I didn't want to get hurt or someone to snatch me up or stuff like that. Because both of my parents worked jobs. So I had to do a lot of things by myself after school in particular. And so since I was a young kid, I've been aware, you know, that, you know, I've been sort of forming a relationship with God. And then when I got older, that just became more refined, you know, like it's probably in 1996 when I became an actual Christian, where I started to study about like a particular, you know, direction. And so that started happening in 1996 for me.
Yeah. Okay. So what would be your sort of daily spiritual practice? Is it based around your Christianity or do you have other things that you do?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of them is reading scripture, you know, that gives me a lot of sort of perspective and it gives me a lot of faith. Also walking, which I haven't been able to do lately because I'm struggling through COVID and I've been quarantined.
I hear you.
Yeah, walking does a lot for me, you know, just to connect with nature. You know, there's so many little cues from nature that I take that gives me perspective and helps me to understand sort of what I'm striving to do, give me clarity.
That's great. Yeah. And I really want to ask you about your TED Talk, Sacred Serial Number. I'm absolutely fascinated by that concept because I fully second you on that. We do have an inner resource that offers some sort of connection to whatever it is that you have faith in. For me, it's the universe, and I believe that it wants the best for you. It wants what you want. You know, it wants to support you, but you have to connect with it by doing the things that you've just said, like walking in nature. For me, it's having gratitude every single day for what I've got. Yeah. Do you want to tell us more about that, the sacred serial number?
Yeah, well, that was one of my TED Talks that I did. And it's basically saying just how important, you know, each of us are and how sacred we are, and that we all have this sort of serial number that allows us to, number one, understand that we're supposed to be here and our purpose here is great. You know, we have something great to offer this world, each one of us individually. And so it's sort of tapping into that sacred serial number of who you are and becoming the greatest of who you can be. And I agree with what you said too, like gratitude is so important, just being very grateful for the things that are in your life, the people, the things, the realities that you're, you know, that surround you. So, yeah.
Absolutely. If you had to give three things today, I know that you're struggling with COVID, but what are your three things that you are grateful for today?
One is my career, because I dreamt about being an entertainer since I was a young kid, and I prayed for this life that I now have lived for over 30 years. So the fact that I have a career in music and that's how I make my living is an absolute huge thing that I'm grateful for. And the fact that I have such an amazing family. I have kids. They're both healthy. They're really incredible kids. And I have an amazing wife who I've been married to for 27, 26 years. And we've been together for 31 years. And our relationship is amazing. So, on and on and on. So each of my kids, my wife, just my career, all of these things are fantastic. I'm very, very grateful for.
That's great. That's so nice to hear. And on the topic of your wife, I love that you refer to her as a queen a lot, and actually all women. I've heard you talk about them as queens, or refer to them as queens. And where does that come from?
Yeah, well, I call my wife that all the time, and she truly is my queen. It really came as a response from what, unfortunately, a lot of Black culture has lifted up Black women as like hoes and bitches and thoughts and all types of stuff, and that's not what they are. And I refer to them as queens to counteract that. And also, historically for Black people, we have unrecognized history to a lot of people of empires and dynasties and kings and queens and royalty. And that's the side of Black history that's rarely, if ever, taught. And the contributions of those kings and queens and dynasties is rarely taught. So I just feel like bringing back that kind of wordplay is very important for self-esteem. And just to re I don't know, recategorize what we are, and who we are.
Absolutely, I totally agree. Yeah. And I know that a lot of early Arrested Development was a response to that sort of hip hop that had turned less than conscious, I guess you could describe it. Like you said, violence, bitches, guns. And I love that in your documentary, the mini documentary series, you discussed how demeaning that was and how it sort of perpetuated a stereotype that had been going on for so long. Where do you think hip hop's at now with that?
I think it's starting to change back. More and more artists are recognizing that this imagery is damaging to our children. It's damaging to our own self-esteem. It's damaging to other people's perceptions of us. So I think that over time, there has been a little bit more of a steering back to a little bit more dignity, but not enough yet. But we're getting there. I'm starting to see more artists stray away from that type of stuff, more than I did in previous years, which is good. I'm really grateful that we're starting to change that direction.
I really hope so. I hope that we do get back to the much more conscious place that it was in. Yeah, and Arrested Development, they're often described as an Afrocentric group. How would you define that for anyone that doesn't know what that means?
What Afrocentric means is basically Africa's at the center, the pride of where we come from, the accomplishments, the riches of the continent, whether it be, the people that come from there, the culture that comes from there, the music, the natural resources. All of these things are the things that we're sort of trying to put back into the forefront of people's consciousness and people's minds. Africa gets played off as one of the most inconsequential continents in the world. When people think about continents of power and influence, you think about most of the European nations, whether it be Europe, all throughout Europe, or Russia as a superpower, even China, or so on and so forth, but you don't think about Africa. And so I feel like being Afrocentric is putting those things back into the conversation.
Absolutely. I think it's such an important movement. And I know it's been around for a long time, so people need to really take note, I think. What do you think of Afrofuturism?
Yeah, I think it's great because, again, in sci-fi in general, we're not represented in the future as anything consequential or anything important. So usually in sci-fi, if we're there, we're just minorities again, or we're just sort of side characters. And so to me, Afrofuturism puts us again into the narrative of the future. If we're on another planet, if we're here, if it's technology, if it's inventions, if it's whatever, it puts us within that narrative and even in the center of that narrative, which is great, you know, because for too long, you know, Europeans have only been the ones sort of portrayed as being important in the future.
So in terms of narrative, your songs, like you embody this podcast, songs are spells. They're a way of putting an intention out into the world. You might call this prayer. Tracks like Mr. Wendell, for example, warning us about being overly materialistic, being judgmental. People Every Day is calling out what we now call toxic masculinity. Would you agree with that interpretation?
Of people every day. Yeah, I would agree with it as being, yeah, a toxic masculinity, a toxic, just an ignorance that unfortunately is really heavily perpetuated, you know, in the Black community. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's such a like brave way of songwriting. Like you really put it out there. Have you What sort of reaction did you experience to that song when it was released?
That's a great question. You know, initially people were into the groove, and so they liked the music a lot for the groove. But lyrically, most people loved it because they could relate to it. There was a few people that didn't really love it because they thought I was attacking gangster hip hop artists. Ice Cube wasn't too fired up about it. Maybe because of that, Snoop Dogg, when I met him, he wasn't, you know, he was sort of giving me a growl look and
Wow.
well, it was interesting, you know, it was a mixed bag of people's responses, but most people really loved it and felt like the lyrics really touched upon something that was rarely talked about, you know what I mean? And in hip hop in particular, you know. So yeah.
It's so different to that narrative of Bitches Ain't Shit by Dre or whatever. And what do you think of, because I mean, Tupac had a few songs that were a bit more conscious, stuff like Keep Your Head Up. What do you think about his contribution to that narrative?
Tupac is an interesting dude for a few reasons. One is he had a lot of sides to him. A lot of his consciousness wasn't on record. It was in things that he would say in interviews. It was from his mother and a lot of his relatives being part of the Black Panther movement. So he was around Black consciousness a lot. And that shows in some of his music, but then in you know my mini documentary is called The N-Word Factory. Basically, he also was playing a role within that factory though as well. So he played both things. Like he walked the fence, you know. So while there's some stuff that's extremely powerful and conscious, there was other stuff that was the opposite of that. You know what I mean? So Tupac walked both sides of that. And I think that's probably why he's loved by so many. For me personally, if he would have had more years on Earth, he would have grown to see the sort of the battle that both sides presented. And I think he would have chosen more of a conscious side as he would have continued on.
Yeah, I think so too. That would have been really interesting to see how he evolved over time in terms of the sort of corporate machine of the music industry. I love your comments on Kanye. Do you want to tell us more about that?
Well, you know, Kanye is a very similar situation where, you know, he's always walked both edges too. I mean, his mother was an educator. His father, you know, a very educated guy. He comes from a middle class family in Chicago. And at the same time, you know, he knew that the N-word factory is constantly sort of pumping out certain viewpoints and images that if he wanted to be as successful as he wanted to be, he would have to participate. And he did. And so, you know, simultaneously, he would write songs like Jesus Walks, but also on the same record would, you know, talk about things that shouldn't be talked about from a Christian perspective, you know. someone really submitting to a Christian lifestyle. So, he's played the, both sides of the fence, a lot throughout his career. And I think right now he's definitely struggling trying to figure out how exactly is he going to walk this life as a sort of new convert to Christianity and at the same time remain hugely popular. How does he do that? Especially with the factory being as prevalent as it is, how does he do that? And so we'll see. Like right now, I think he's found an area where, okay, I won't cuss at all, but my artist will cuss and I'll just bleep the words out or make them go backwards or whatever. They're going to talk about whatever they want to talk about, but I'll talk about God or Jesus or whatever. So I think he's trying to find his way, and how to navigate success and record sales and heightened releases mixed with faith, And so I think that, it shouldn't be hard, but I think it's hard for him because he still wants that. He wants that spotlight.
Yeah. And you're such a great example of how to be a conscious artist and not sort of play into all that. Obviously still be a popular artist and still make that your job ultimately. So I think that's so interesting. Because I know that you turned down a massive sponsorship. Was it Coca-Cola?
Many years ago, probably about 25, maybe 27 years ago, somewhere in there. Yeah, actually, it was around there. And we turned down about $1 million. Now, I say we, it was really me because for me, I just didn't want to be talking about revolution and talking about fundamental change. And at the same time, signing a deal with Coca-Cola, who was the company that I turned down, to use our songs for, just drinking Coke. And this was at a time period when hip hop had a lot more integrity than it does now. Like more artists are focused on making big deals with corporations and they're focused on trying to make as much money as possible. But back then we had a lot more integrity for what the music should stand for.
Absolutely, yeah. Is there any brands that you would work with that you feel are aligned with you?
Over time, the expectations are so low now. Like the level of what we are striving to do is in hip hop is so low now that I would reconsider it. My bandmates even back then were really, really mad at me for turning down that money. But at the same time, so for me, I would reevaluate it differently now and just try to see what makes sense. What's the song they want? And what is the brand? And no, I don't have any brands right offhand that I feel like, I would let them sort of recreate the lyrics for, one of our more potent or important songs. Yeah, it just depends. It all depends on what the message is and what they're striving to say and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very much case by case, isn't
It
it?
is, it's case by case.
Do you think that songs can heal?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Are there any songs that you hold in that regard that are really important to you?
So many, but yeah, I feel like music, it heals. I feel like it changes our mood, our perspective, our worldview. It opens our spirituality, our third eye in a sense. I think music is extremely powerful, and I've seen it do that for me, but I've talked to literally more people than I can count that said that about even Arrested Development's music. So there's been concert experiences where after the show, people are like, they just feel like they've been transported, And I love that. Like, and I relate to them because that happens with me, I've seen some Prince shows and I listen to Prince music and Bob Marley music or so many artists. It's more than I can name right now, but that transformed me, it changes my whole attitude, my whole view.
Do you believe, I think I already know the answer to this, but the best music does have a message? It does have a specific social purpose.
Yeah, I think the music, I think the best music that I like at least is very intentional. There's something about it that's intentional. It's not just for the heck of it. And whenever people know the power of music and of art, then therefore they use it intentionally to make changes and to lift people up. To me, that's always the most special music. And yeah, I mean, some people that do that to me is like KRS-One, Bob Marley, you know, and so many others. But yeah,
amazing. Yeah, I feel like that footage of the One Love concert when there's like a bolt of lightning. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh my god, it's like.
What happened? Tell me more about it.
He's in full flow, and it's this really special concert because, you know, obviously people were threatening his life. The political parties there didn't want to be there. They didn't want to speak to each other. They didn't believe in One Love whatsoever. And he's just there, like, doing his thing. And apparently there isn't very much thunder and lightning in Jamaica. That's not really a thing in terms of the climate there. I haven't been, sadly, I don't know, but... Yeah, he's on stage and there's this incredible bolt of lightning. Wow. And it's at this really like interesting point in the bar as well, in the music. And it's like, whoa.
Wow, no, I didn't know about that.
I'll have to send you it. It's incredible. Oh my God. And for me, that just shows like that is, songs are spells. They're a way of changing the world. And he was definitely a vessel for that, without a doubt.
I thoroughly agree with that.
Yeah. We need more artists like that, and like you as well. Where are they?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's like I say in my mini doc, the N-Word Factory, I think so many of them are there, but they're just not getting the same promotional opportunities. So they sort of, if you don't find them on your own, you just don't know that they're there, yeah. You know? So that's the sad thing, you know?
You use social media for good. You put a really great message out there. You put education out there. But a lot of them are using it to sort of almost normalize things like drug use and other sort of darker activities. What do you think of social media?
Social media to me is a pretty depressing situation most of the time, because while there is some things that are inspiring and fantastic and informative, in my opinion, most of it ends up being more frivolous and just time wasting, you know? So like one of the things that I said to my close friends is like, I'm getting off of social media this year, 2022. And I've started to do that already, like within this last, I guess, 3 or 4 days. And I plan to do it more and more this year. So because I feel like a lot of the most important information, it may be somewhere on the net or on social media, but it's hard to find. And I think we do better when we're not distracted with all of this stuff to just take our attention, distract us. And so I feel like we'll do better finding really important things as we travel without that. Like as we go through our journeys without social media, I think we'll find some more meaningful things that really mean a lot to us and help us to further our own advancement and others' advancement around us. So that's what I feel.
Yeah. I'm worried that there's no way back now. I feel like we've gone so far with it. How do we go back? Do we just delete it?
A lot of people I know are doing just that. You know, they're deleting it. They're just getting it out of their world and they're building new tribes, new communities, new friendship groups, ones that they actually can see and touch and you know, connect with in real life. And I like that. I respect that a lot. And that's what I plan to do more and more as this year progresses, is just, you know, build different tribes and tribes that are more meaningful and more truthful.
Yeah, that's such a great thing to want to do. I feel like I really need to do that as well.
Yeah, so I understand it is tough. I mean, definitely people have to make that decision when they're ready to make it. I've analyzed like how important is, like as I scroll through my social media timelines, how important is each interaction? And as I start to weigh it out, I'm like, wow, this is very much not important. It may be entertaining, it may be cute, it may be funny, but how important is it to where I'm trying to get to this year and what I'm striving to accomplish this year? And most of it, I mean like 90% of it doesn't meet the criteria.
Wow. I'm really interested in who inspires you then, because you have so much informative information. Like, who inspires you? Who do you look up to?
That's a great question. I mean, to be honest with you, it's a lot of like normal people, you know. So when I talk about everyday people, that really is the most inspiring to me. It's what people are doing in their real lives, you know. So right now, my wife is extremely inspiring to me because I got COVID, my daughter got COVID. We have one of my daughter's best friends lives here with us. She got COVID. My wife didn't get COVID. And then my wife was just serving all of us and just helping all of us and like, you know, cooking things for us and just doing so much. And it's like, wow, that's the inspiration that I need right now. It's tangible, real things that are based on love and giving, and that really increase the stock that I have, not only in her as my wife, but just as a human being and the type of person she is. Like, these are the types of things that I know will last for the long haul about who she is, and not things that are just presented on social media. And so it's things like that that inspire me probably the most. But I am inspired by nature, by a lot of different people, and you know, some of them famous, some of them not so famous. But yeah, I'm inspired by a lot of things.
Yeah, amazing. What's been the hardest thing that you've had to overcome so far?
For me is probably record like trying to understand like how to be an artist and stay true to who I am as an artist, knowing that you may not reach as many people as you could if you were not being true to yourself. So that makes sense. So, you know, with Arrested Development's career, we've sold millions of records. We've had, you know, really big tours where, you know, we're performing in front of 20, 30,000 people. And then we've had times when we're performing in front of a very small club and it's maybe 100 or 200 people. Those are pretty wide gaps between each other, you know? And so I've had to recognize like, well, what do I do this for? If it's just money and like huge venues and big success in that sense, then I'd have to change up what I want to even write about, you know, and who I want to be. But if I'm willing to overcome that thought and just be happy with being myself, no matter what the outcome of each release is going to be, and whether we're going to still perform in front of these huge crowds or not. I think that's one of the big obstacles I've had to sort of really, you know, analyze and overcome. If any of this makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you know that if you, I don't made like a sort of Eminem style record, for example, yeah, it would be massive. But it's not authentic to you, right? I think, and that's such good advice for anyone that wants to be in the music industry. If you don't have an authenticity, then what do you have? Yeah, and we've seen many artists sort of fall by the wayside because they've not stayed true.
I have too. You know, and I've seen many fall by the wayside that have stayed true. They just never got that mass appeal. They never got that mass exposure, you know. So it's a rough journey either way, I think. Even that, you have to really have a conviction that well, I'm gonna stay myself, even if it doesn't make it as big as somebody else might make it, you know.
Yeah, that must be really tough. But so much sort of like spiritual teaching says that. It says do it for the love, do it because you want to, do it because it's you, and the success will come naturally, and at whatever level it will be there because you've done you do you, as they say.
There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about wide is the road to destruction, and many people are on that road, and small is the road to enlightenment and to spirituality, and very few get on that road. And so I think that that's a very true statement when I look at social media in particular as an example, you know.
Yeah, and I think particularly, you might disagree with this, but I think particularly for a lot of men today, they are quite disconnected, or they still feel that they can't be like vulnerable. And I think things like social media and things like dating apps and all this kind of on digital love, basically, it makes it quite easy for a lot of men to be quite like disrespectful or misogynistic. What would be like your advice to any men listening who have perhaps become aware of this and want like a more conscious life?
Yeah, I personally think a man needs to be, number one, loving and protective and respectful towards women. And I think that having great conversations should be part of a man's, biggest arsenal, being able to be emotionally available and emotionally connected. To me, that's what the best of manhood is being able to do that. So that's what I personally believe. I have heard, I haven't been single in a long time, but I've heard that in this digital age, so many men have shared with me that, and women have shared with me that it's really tough to have deeper and more meaningful conversations and communication. So yeah, I would implore any man to be able to really, work on his communication, work on being able to be real and vulnerable and sensitive, so that you're relatable to people and you can have real good conversations and lead to some deep understandings of each other, stuff like that.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah. Are there any sort of artists that you think are like that now?
I feel like artists like Drake, for instance, does well by default because he's probably the most vulnerable mainstream rapper out there. But obviously, he still has this chauvinistic, straight, womanizing type of, energy that he still comes with. And so it's ironic because I think it's not highly celebrated in music to be a man that has sensitivity, but also commitment. And also, it's just not highly celebrated in music and art today, the way I see it, at least.
Yeah, that's an interesting example. What do you think of Kendrick Lamar, for example? Where would you place him in that?
Well, he reminds me a lot of what we talked about earlier with Tupac or, with Kanye or where he rides the fence. And, I think he's brilliant, first of all. And I think Drake is brilliant. I think there's so many artists that I think are brilliant, but rides the fence as far as consciousness or even spirituality mixed with sort of street, hyper masculinity, bravado type of stuff. It's a mixture. And I think a lot of artists have realized that that makes for a wide reception, and you could easily be called conscious because the standard for what consciousness is nowadays is so low. If you mix a little bit in there, you'll be known as conscious. But really, I think a lot of them are riding the fence. How I feel personally is that, like consciousness, the real heroes of consciousness to me are people like Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Well, they were all straightforward about what their messaging was. And it never was a mixture. It wasn't like part street and part, conscious. It was just conscious. And if in Malcolm X's case, there was a time when he was in the streets, and then there was a time when he cut that off and he became Malcolm X, and his consciousness was where he was, and it was just moving forward, and he denounced what he used to be. And that's what I don't see enough of in today's sort of hip hop realms of consciousness or sensitivity or whatever you want to call it.
It's really interesting those people you've mentioned, because a lot of the time people sort of pit Malcolm X and Martin Luther King against each other almost, saying that, because their approaches were somewhat different, but do you believe that they had the same ultimate goal, right?
They did. And their level of consciousness was the same. Neither of them were cowardly. Neither of them were misled or wrong. Both of them had their own way of viewing, bringing about the same exact goals, which was freedom.
If you had to pick a side, some people say, these people that pit them against each other, what do you think is the most effective means? Was it the more peaceful Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. approach, or I guess the more vigilante Malcolm X approach?
To be honest, they both complemented each other. When white people in that time period in the 60s, and when they had to make a decision And they have two people that they're seeing that are sort of rising up the ranks in Black activism. And they see Malcolm X, who's holding a semi-automatic machine gun at his window and saying, look, I'm shooting back. If you mess with me, I mess, you know, I'm coming back to you. And then you have Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who's talking about nonviolence as a social, you know, change and strategy. They choose, a lot of people would choose, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So I think that Malcolm X sort of helped to propel Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s message. And at the same time, as far as tangibles, there's no question that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s approach was extremely effective in accomplishing certain tangible, real goals at the time. Did it accomplish every single thing that he was set out to accomplish? Definitely not. Was he still assassinated? Yes. But did he accomplish some tangible goals? He did, and more tangible goals than Malcolm X was able to accomplish. I'm not saying either one of them were better or worse than the other. I just think as far as looking back, you can clearly see some of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s movement was able to accomplish.
Yeah. I completely respect them both. I mean, this is a huge question, but where do you think civil rights is at today, right now?
I think that it's still something that is in progress, but also, and Black people knew this from the beginning, you can't legislate people's hearts. You can only make things into law. The laws have changed. It is illegal to be outwardly racist towards somebody here in this country. But it doesn't change the heart of human beings who are still prone to be racist or prone to see someone as unequal or who have white supremacist ideas baked into their minds and don't even know it. These are things that are tough to change over time. And so I think the civil rights movement is just one part of an overall freedom movement to not just acknowledge what civil rights a person might have, but also to acknowledge their overall humanity in society and in culture. And that's a hard issue that has to be won over time, you know, and it's tough because the conditioning was so powerful and so strong. The conditioning of racism in the first place, you know, it's so powerful, so strong that unfortunately it's taken way more time than it should. So yeah, it's a movement that continues to push forward, you know?
Absolutely. And I guess your experiences in the US will be quite different to mine in the UK. Do you feel like the US has moved forward?
Well, yeah, I think so. You know, I think that at least conversations are able to be had with this new administration. There are some laws and some things that are being put into place that weren't there during the Trump era. And also I want to say that, you know, the government can only do but so much. And again, all it can really do is legislate certain things, which helps, but it doesn't change the hearts and many times even the minds of people. It helps to some extent, but it doesn't accomplish the overall goals, which is to change people's mindset and people's spirits on these issues.
Yeah. So I've got one more question for you. I'll let you go on and rest with your COVID. It's been fascinating. My last question is just, what are you listening to right now? What are your recommendations?
That's a great question. I've been listening, like I just got around to finishing Nas's Magic album that he just released. I've been wanting to listen to this like Brazilian soul music. There's a particular album that I'm trying to find. And so that's been like my big search lately. I used to have it in my record collection and somehow I lost it. So I'm trying to find it again. I was watching a clip on social media of Kanye West and Pharrell at some event. I don't know where they were, but there was this Brazilian song being played by the DJ and they were both rocking to it. And it's a song that I adore. And I used to play it all the time. And so ever since I saw that clip, which was probably about a week ago, I've been looking for this record. So that's what I've been just listening to, a little bit of that Nas and then trying to find Brazilian soul music lately. Yeah.
Speaking to Speech was an absolute honour and privilege. He really educated me on what it was like to be a black artist in the USA in the hip hop genre, and that you don't necessarily have to play in to the stereotypical notions of a hip hop artist, although if you choose to do so, that's your call. His respect for women was admirable and really heartwarming, and I feel like he's got so much to teach the world. I'm so glad that he continues to make music today. Each week, I'll be bringing you the songs are Spell's very own Spellcast. This will be discussing what's going on in the universe and what might affect you and your energy. And this week, we have the gorgeous new moon in Aquarius. This is a time to reflect on the New Year goals that you set back in Hogmanay and think about what you want to bring in for the rest of this short month, the month of love, February. And how can you get there? And also, Mercury retrograde goes forward on February 3rd. And it takes a couple of days to really shift forward, but when it does, it will be fast and furious. So take care of yourself during this time. Hey, do you love the Songs or Spells podcast presented by me, Carolyn King? Hearing about how rock stars use magic in their lives? Do you want to level up your life using the easy spiritual tips discussed with our amazing guests like Aurora, Idols, and OG Sex Pistol Glenn Matlock? Well, now is the time. I personally have manifested many things like relationships, tuition fees, and even specific podcast guests. And now, so can you. Think of me as a personal guide for your spiritual glow up. I'm here to explain powerful techniques such as the law of attraction, gratitude, manifesting and affirmations, coach you through each practical step, keep it entertaining and bring you into a fun community where you can expand your network. And we all know it's who you know. So what are you waiting for? As Billie Eilish, Bruno Mars, Jay-Z and Ariana Grande know, yep, they all practice this. A weekly bit of witchery does not take long. Imagine how much power you would have if you kept this up. So get ready to level up. I've got your back. Once you subscribe, you have full access to the entire back catalogue of exclusive weekly Patreon episodes and a weekly group connect call where we will share tips on how to apply this to our everyday lives. We officially launch on the 1st of February 2022, just in time for the new moon. So join me today on our Patreon community page. You can access it via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bio at the Songs or Spells podcast. I can't wait to meet you. Next week, I am joined by Martha and Mark from Martha and the Muffins. In the meantime, check out the Patreon community, which goes live this week, and start your own witchy journey. Connect with me on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Songs or Spells Podcast and on TikTok at Songs or Spells. Who would you like to hear on the podcast? Let us know. The Songs or Spells Podcast has been co-produced and presented by me, Carolyn King. Co-produced and edited by Helena Rifai, with music by The Vantees.